Welcome, everyone, to episode 189 of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to have a pretty Bulls-centric episode. Fred Hoiberg got fired on Monday, so we are going to talk about that decision and the fallout, the ramifications, what it means for the Bulls moving forward, all that good stuff. Before we get underway, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe. Download, leave some 5-star reviews, and we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter, at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well, Brian. My son is getting better at jump shooting, so I'm just waiting for him to get drafted by a team that isn't the Bulls.
I was going to say, if he stays in college for 4 years, he could get drafted by the Bulls.
Oh, no.
And then he could have a new coach every 3 years until the end of time. It'd be great.
Yeah, and no issues with the front office whatsoever, because obviously.
Right. Yeah, so let's just dive right in, Mort. I mean, so look, the Bulls are not good this year. They're 5-19 right now. So on Monday, they made the decision to fire Fred Hoiberg.
Sure did.
He was still under contract for this year and next year. Mm-hmm. They have promoted associate head coach Jim Boylan to replace Hoiberg, presumably permanently, or at least it doesn't seem like he just has the interim tag on. Like, he's just going to be their head coach for the rest of the year, and then maybe
next year as well.
Great. So let's start with Hoiberg, Mort. Do you think he deserved to get fired?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I don't think Hoiberg was a good coach, but I don't think he got a fair shot either. Like, look, he was given very weird rosters from day one. Like, the first season, he had to more or less inherit the team that Tom Thibodeau had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then they had to murk it up a little bit. And then you had the whole Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo experiment, which isn't really pace or space. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally hit the big red reset button, you know, they gave him very little chance to actually succeed. Right. I mean, they wanted to lose last year. He actually won them more games than they probably should have.
Right.
So there's just no ounce of logic from Chicago's side other than, you know, we didn't want this. And this is an excuse to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought Zach Lowe, he wrote a column after Hoiberg got fired. I thought he did a great job explaining kind of like the whole mess and how this isn't all Hoiberg's fault. Mm-hmm. And Ken Berger on Bleacher Report today also had a really good column about it. And it's basically like, look, man, it starts with Gar and Pax.
Yeah.
Like, you can't blame Hoiberg for having, as you said, the first couple of years, they had rosters that you hire a pace and space coach and then sign Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade. Like, you're setting him up to fail. And then you about face and decide, okay, now we're gonna trade Jimmy Butler, we're gonna start rebuilding, we're gonna build around these young prospects, Dunn, LaVine, Markkanen. LaVine misses most of last year. They have Nico they have a whole like practice fight with Nico and Bobby Portis. Nico comes back, starts winning a bunch of games for them, they trade him immediately. You're winning too many games, Nico. Get out of here. But at that point they had like won enough games that they got, you know, they were past the point of getting a Luka Doncic or an Ayton or even a Trae Young or something. So, you know, they fell into Wendell Carter. Like, right now they've got a great young core with Carter and Markkanen. Markkanen misses the entire season. He makes his debut Saturday, so it's not a surprise that they suck this year. To me, it just feels like Gar Pax are like using Hoiberg as a fall guy almost. Maybe they bought into the hype, the offseason hype of like, oh, maybe the Bulls aren't that bad. Maybe they'll actually challenge for the 8 seed because the East is just a disaster zone after the first like top 5, top 6 teams.
You're actually forgetting something that happened last season as well.
Oh boy.
Remember when they signed Sean Kilpatrick to a much higher than market value because they had to stay above the salary floor?
Indeed.
Kilpatrick's agent is Mark Bartlestein. Also, Jabari Parker's agent. A man who Gar has a very close relationship with.
Right.
You see where I'm going with this. That the level of nepotism and personal interest and personal feelings, whatever you want to call it, is by far prioritized than, you know, winning basketball, building a team the right way. John Paxson was at the presser yesterday to explain about, you know, the fire of Hoiberg. And he also, you know, mentioned that Gar's job is safe and, right. you know, that he that he has every ounce of faith in the franchise, yada, yada, yada. At this point, I would just like to give an advice to Bulls fans, because I have a lot of Bulls fans in my mention when I critique Gar Paxson. Go, oh, well, Gar Paxson said this and that. Don't believe them.
Yeah.
Not for a second. Look, I have sources within the Bulls. I hear a lot of stuff that I have never told publicly. I'm also not going to do it now. But I can tell you that the way that they act internally towards other, you know, especially media members, and the way that they just operate is I can best describe it as toxic or rotten.
Yeah,
it is deeply, deeply flawed. You know some of the stuff that I've told you, you know, privately.
Right.
So you can confirm that what I've told you is absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
They have really no grasp anymore in terms of understanding how to run an NBA team. They are dinosaurs. They don't understand how to build a team up, and it's no coincidence that Paxson, who's been there since 2003, is another long, just as long as Ernie Grunfeld in Washington, another long tenured GM, where the ownership's primary interest is not basketball but in a different sport. I think that right now Gar Paxson is getting away with murder because the interest level of ownership lies primarily with the White Sox in baseball.
Right.
They view the Bulls as, well, you know, a great profit margin team. That's what matters. Winning? Eh. Oh, we lucked into Michael Jordan and won 6 championships? That's great. I'll trade them all for a World Series, which has been said.
Yeah.
It's an evil circle. So, my advice to Bulls fans, don't listen to what management says. Right now, they are trying to bury Hoiberg in the press. Like, they are overwhelmingly trying to bury him.
Yeah.
And it is ugly. And here's the thing. Hoiberg has not really... I don't even think he's been out there to say anything. He's been silent. You're burying a guy who hasn't attacked or responded to anything. Like, it's so low class...
Right.
And here's a nugget as well. So Nick Friedell, you know, said that the Bulls internally, back in, what was that, 2015 when they hired Fred, believed that he was Steve Kerr 2.0. But he also said something else that is entirely true. This was Gar's pick.
Yeah.
This was Gar Foreman's guy, you know, because Gar Foreman has ties with Iowa State. Obviously, that was the college where Fred coached for 5 years. So again, the nepotism angle. You know, and Gar hyped that entire organization up. This is Steve Kerr 2.0. Some sources, you know, according to Gar and whatnot, are like, no, we didn't do that. Yes, I heard that the minute it happened. Yes, it absolutely happened. They have not been realistic in terms of their expectations. They haven't been realistic in terms of how to prepare a coach, because if they wanted a 2.0 Steve Kerr, then they might need shooters or, you know, high quality NBA players who can actually think on their feet, you know, high IQ players. Right now, the league is reportedly laughing at the Bulls and sniggering about the Bulls. Yeah, that's not right now. That's been the case for at least 3 years.
Right.
I mean, I know a specific organization, which I'm not going to name, that have, you know, been out there in with some people I know and told them, yeah, the Bulls, that's a mess. That's an absolute mess. It is. And it's not going to get any better. You know, okay, results-wise, it might be in terms of like wins and losses. But then they're going to find their way back to this area where they are right now again. Somehow, some way. There is zero accountability at the top. None accountability for ownership, none accountability for guard packs. It's all about drowning the head coach, and if not the head coach, the players.
Right.
you have so many players, former Bulls, you know, around the league, who are privately saying, I never want to go back.
Yeah.
Even Derrick Rose the other day actually alluded to the fact that, oh, I had to deal with the front office. Mm. Everyone seems to be dealing with the front office, and every time it happens, it's like, oh, it's not our fault. These were bad guys.
Right. Yeah, I saw someone the other day mention, oh, you know who could really use you know who could really use Jimmy Butler in 2019 is Chicago. You know who has cap space in 2019 is Chicago. Like, if you think Jimmy Butler, like, I'm not saying Jimmy Butler is a lock to re-sign in Philly. I'm saying Jimmy Butler is a lock not to go back to Chicago. There's no way.
No, that is absolutely true. A lot of players have been mistreated going out the door and have been thrown under the bus by management in years past. And they lack this understanding of looking internally or looking in the mirror and go, oh, maybe the problem is with us. Maybe we need to actually do something. Again, it really boils down to accountability. Our friend of the podcast, Mark Karantzoulis, like he actually woke up in the middle of the night just by sheer coincidence.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, probably because he's an old man and has to go pee three times a night, which, you know, I can relate, brother.
Yep.
Yeah, we're at that age, right? and just went on Twitter, as you do, and he didn't get back to bed at all. Mm-hmm. he went on a rampage about, you know, the lack of accountability. I mean, you should all go to MK at MK Hoops and just scroll down his feed. That was one angry Aussie last night.
Yeah.
And not because he's like a big Hoiberg fan. I think Mark actually represented a lot of people's feelings on this. I don't think a lot of people thought that Hoiberg was, you know, a special coach or even a good coach.
Right.
It's just that you need to give guys a chance to prove themselves.
Right. Right.
When did this team ever do right by Fred? Yeah, they gave him $25 million, but that's about it. They set him up to fail by constantly just bringing him the wrong pieces. Mm-hmm. You and I spoke at length during 2016? Yeah, 2016, when the Bulls signed Rondo and Wade, that why not go after Seth Curry?
Mm-hmm.
Why not go after guys that would actually, you know, fit Jimmy Butler's game?
Right.
Here's a thought. I mean, and no, it doesn't work that way. It's about big names, jersey sales, ticket sales, marketing. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, it's, oh, well, we did everything right. It's the players or the coaches or whatever who did wrong. So we're standing here right now and swearing loyalty to our fans and talking down to them again because you don't realize that we were talking down to them. And we're going to do this whole thing again. And when it goes sour, which it undoubtedly will, we're going to be right back here and we're going to be talking down to you once more because that's who we are at this point. It's embarrassing, frankly. And I think it's fair now to say officially that the Bulls have become a worse run organization than the Sacramento Kings and the New York Knicks.
It's funny you mentioned that because a friend of the podcast, Jeff Farrer, last night was tweeting, like, you know, if you're a fan, you got to stay a fan even if your team sucks. Like, you know, if it's a bad on-court product, like the definition of being a fan is like sticking through thick and thin. Like, you can't just be there for the highs. You got to be there for the lows. But if it's a incompetently run organization and it's been that way for a lot of years, you know, you listeners of the podcast, and you know, I have long advocated for a Kings fan amnesty where they can bandwagon on whoever else they want because the organization is just run so poorly. And, you know, even now, even though they're off to a surprisingly good start, there's already like front office drama with like the assistant GM versus the head coach. And, you know, there's a back channel like nonsense going on. So that is threatening to undermine them at any point. And I was saying like, yeah, you know, the Kings fans, they still have the lead in that race. But the Bulls, you're right. The Bulls are rapidly coming up, you know, on that.
They passed them.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you why. Because here's the thing. One thing is that Vivek Ranadive, you know, he's a somewhat new owner still. He hasn't been an owner for 30 plus years, like, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf has.
Right.
And there is also the cultural element of him understanding, you know, we do things a certain way. Like, he came in proposing to play, you know, what was it, 4-on-5 basketball and all these things. Like, he's actually, to his credit, like, he's actually stayed a little bit, you know, out of the media in the last year or so. Like, trying at least to go, oh, attack this from a different approach. And I want to say that they're at least trying. The Bulls don't care anymore. Like, they have the, or the management don't care. Like, Gar Foreman and John Paxson have job security for life. They have no vested interest in doing anything. Mm-hmm. They just want to have, you know, their image as clean as it can get, which isn't very clean during these days. But mm-hmm. they just want to throw everyone else under the bus and say, well, you know what? We didn't do anything wrong. We're still here. At that point, it becomes negligent. I mean, it becomes, yeah. It becomes people who represent a franchise fully aware that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, just not doing their job. Mm-hmm. I think that's worse. I think Vlade and Vivek are trying to do their jobs. They just suck at doing that job.
Right.
I don't think Gar Foreman and John Paxson put in the work. And I have a very specific example to prove that, you know, that attack. Remember the worldwide search for a head coach.
Right.
So here's the thing. To those who don't know, everyone knew Tom Thibodeau was, you know, a lame duck coach during his final season. Everyone knew that he was going to be replaced by Hoiberg specifically. Hoiberg's name was popping up like over a year before the dismissal of Thibodeau. And it was just a waiting game, which I always felt was just, that's not how you handle it. At all. That is just so mean to your coach. You don't do it that way at all. Everyone knew. And then they were asked a question, you know, management, and they said, oh, we're going to go on a worldwide search to find the best head coach. Mm-hmm. And then like a month later, Fred Hoiberg, who had been rumored all year long because of the Iowa State connection, was hired and introduced as head coach. It is such baloney. They keep feeding everyone with baloney.
Yeah.
They are lying through their teeth. They have no vested interest in going outside of their regular old habits. They are old and uncomfortable in everything they do. They are mean towards the press. They are mean towards their fans. They are, I mean, look, John Paxson tried choking a former coach in Vincent Del Negro. I mean, these are the type of people we're talking about. They're trash. They are absolute and utter trash.
So that's my question. You know, looking ahead, is there any hope for the Bulls? You know, Paxson came out yesterday and said Gar Foreman's job is safe. And they, you know, Reinsdorf hasn't said anything about John Paxson's job security, but it seems like Gar Paxson are not going anywhere. Is there any hope for the Bulls digging out of this mess if those two guys remain in place?
No. No. Look, I absolutely love Wendell Carter. And you know how much I was on him before the draft. There was always a part of me, having, you know, grown up as a Bulls fan, that were excited to see him with Chicago to some extent. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I also had that feeling of, oh no, he deserves better. I had a couple of people in my mentions today about, you know, the future of the Bulls, and one, I don't remember who, I'm so sorry. One person asked me about David Blatt. Should David Blatt come in? And that's actually, on the surface, that's not a bad idea. David Blatt is a terrific coach. Mm-hmm. But I would hate it for Blatt. I think he deserves better.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm at these days. Yeah, like young guys, like the Bulls right now are in the Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett territory. Kind of want those guys to go a place where they're not going to get undermined, where they can develop without having to bicker with management. I mean, I don't anticipate Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter remaining Bulls because of that management. Mm-hmm. I am constantly sitting there thinking, you know what? At some point, they're going to piss them off. They're going to respond. Management is going to be so offended that a player, because that's a lower status type of entity, that they're going to trade them, and then afterwards throw them under a bus, leak, have a lot of people leak out, oh, these were horrible teammates. Oh, they are, oh, they're so devious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even looking like beyond the character issues with them, and Lowe touched upon this in his column too, they've just mismanaged this whole, you know, even looking like just isolating the past couple of years, like not even looking at the Rondo and Wade signings, which were dumb on principle, as you said, because they were just going for big names and it didn't fit their coach, whatever. You know, just looking at this past summer, they have 20 plus million in cap space. They could have used that space to take on a bad contract to get additional draft compensation or get a young prospect in exchange.
The Denver package.
Right. Yeah. Instead, they spend it on Jabari Parker. And they could, you know, they do it as he's from Chicago. He's a former number two pick. Like, he's still young. He still fits our developmental timeline. Wherein, you know, just looking at this roster, like, we, you know, we talked about this deal over the summer. And we're like, well, it's not a bad deal necessarily because it's only 1 year. Like, it's a completely low risk deal. And, like, if he hits it, I mean, that's a big win. But the odds of him hitting were so low. Just because, you know, look at it. Like, he would have to play the three. You have Carter and you have Markkanen. And you're not going to displace one of those guys to play Jabari Parker at the four, which is where he's best suited to play.
And so, Portis.
Right, and Portis. And Robin Lopez. Like, you have a very crowded front court already. And Felicio, even though, whatever. Yeah. but, you know, you don't have minutes at the four or the five. Parker is best suited to play at the four. So you're going to force him to play down a position. It's really just like this name brand thing. And, you know, I've been joking with you on the side about like, oh, the Bulls are definitely going to trade for Markelle Fultz because this, you know, that's their MO. He was a number one overall pick a year ago. He's still young. He could still fit our timeline. He could mesh with, you know, like maybe Dunn, LaVine, and Markelle Fultz are the backcourt of our future. I want to like it. You know, at this point, who knows what's going on with Markelle Fultz?
Well, he's not from Chicago, though.
Right. I know. That's the one saving grace, potentially. But, you know, it's just like these guys aren't running. They just don't. They haven't. They're like flipping their direction every year, and they aren't running the team like a smart rebuilding team should be. You know, like, look at. I don't want to, like, fetishize Sam Hinkie more than we already have, but even look at Sean Marks, you know? Like, Sean Marks inherited that Nets team a couple of years ago as a rebuilding team. He knew for multiple years, like, we don't have draft picks. We're just going to be rebuilding. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get young talent. You know, I'm going to trade Thaddeus Young away, and I'm going to get the pick that became Caris LeVert. I'm going to trade Brook Lopez. I'm going to get D'Angelo Russell. It hasn't necessarily panned out the way he'd hoped, but... You know, like, it's still, that was the type of play you make. You trade away your veterans, and then you get good stuff in return. Like, the Bulls kind of did that with Nico, but, you know,
Did they, though? Because here's the thing. They also had to take on Omer Asik's
contract. Right, exactly. Yeah. And that wasn't...
For the 22nd pick in the draft.
Right.
Which, by the way, they made a promise to...
Yes.
They made a promise to Chandler Hutchinson. Like, right. I don't mind Chandler. He's a good player, and he's, from everything I've seen and heard, he's also a very fine human being. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there were guys dropping on that draft board.
Right.
And then because you made a promise, then you weren't able to go best player available necessarily.
Right.
Like, everything they do is just so short-sighted.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know... Again, like, disregarding their contempt for their fan base, I think you're right. Like, they are just, they treat Bulls fans like they're just dumb. And, like,
dumb
they
kids,
don't understand.
Really.
Yeah, and, like, they don't understand what's going on, which may have been the case 20 years ago before the internet and before, like, NBA Twitter and basketball blogging really took off. But NBA fans are really smart right now. You know, like, I don't think NBA fans have ever been smarter than they are in this era, just because there's so much more information out there, and it's so much easier to have smart people explain, like, hey, actually, if you're a bad team, you should rebuild for multiple years, or you should do X, Y, and Z to expedite this rebuilding process. You shouldn't just try to, like, tread water and BS your way to, like, a 40-win team and an 8-seed in the playoffs. Like, there's no point in that. And it just seems like the Bulls aren't willing to do what it takes to get back to the level, you know, that they were in the, I mean, in the 90s, obviously, but even, like, with the Tom Thibodeau teams at the turn of the decade, like, they lucked into a lot of their good success. You know, they lucked into
Rose.
They lucked into Rose. They lucked into Jordan. Like, they, you know, you got Michael Jordan. You got the greatest player of all time at number three. That was a fluke, and it shouldn't have happened. But and then
Scotty later on.
Right. And then you're right. They lucked into Rose too. They have like the eighth or ninth best odds in that draft lottery.
Ninth, 1.7% chance. And then they kind of lucked into Butler as well. Like, nobody thought he'd be that good.
Right. Right. So, like, right now, again, you have Markkanen and you have Wendell Carter, both of whom, you know, are already looking like, oh, they're not, you know, I don't think they're the best players in their class necessarily, but they're good value picks at number seven, which is not easy to do. Like, it's
upper tier.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, those guys are foundational pieces, and LaVine is playing well. Like, you know, he has his concerns that, you know, he's never going to be a great defender and whatever. His efficiency is starting to fall back to earth after a really hot start to the season, but he's fine. Like, and he's not signed to, like, just an egregious, like, cap crippling contract like John Wall in 3 years.
Right.
So they have the foundation there. They just need a progressive, smart front office to see them through and to, like, decide on a direction. But it just doesn't feel like Garpacks are the ones to do it. And if they, you know, if they're going to continue being wishy-washy and, like, next year they're going to, you know, depending on where they're going to be in the lottery, obviously, depending on where they land, like, maybe they say, okay, we got our, you know, we have our talent. Now we're going to start to push for the playoffs. But, like, if they go in, you know, haven't they been setting up the 2019 summer as, like, this is when we strike in free agency?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's another part.
Yeah.
Free agency is always, you know, the one thing that they build themselves up to.
Right.
They keep getting burned, but yet they learn nothing from it.
Yeah.
Because here's what happens. Like, in 2006, you know, they were going to make a splash, and they did. They signed the best free agent in the class, Ben Wallace. Mm-hmm. The problem was, Wallace was 32 years old.
Right.
And he was on a decline. Like, athletic decline, skills decline. Like, he was just not that same player. Obviously, because when you're at that age and you've been playing undersized basketball for, you know, 7 or 8 years, you will be worn down. But again, it was the name. Like, there are so many available pieces that summer that would have fit the Bulls at that point in time better. You know, that was the Kirk Heinrich, Ben Gordon, Dual Dang era. Like, you had a stretch four in Al Harrington who would have fit seamlessly because, you know, think about the shooting there. That would have been a new age team before it was really trendy. Like, Kirk, Ben, and Al Harrington just hitting threes on you. They just didn't go that route. They had one of the best defenses in the league and thought, what do we need? Oh, we need the reigning defensive player of the year. Why?
Right.
There was just never any sense made out of this. And then afterwards, you know, later on in 2014, it was the Melo show. Remember, you know, it was all Melo. And then when they didn't get him, it was suddenly Pau Gasol, who didn't fit anyone's timeline because at that point he was 34 years old. Like, he played great, and kudos to Pau for being like an all-NBA player during his Bulls tenure. That's great, obviously. But what did it help them exactly? Like, it didn't fit with the age group. It was just, it was illogical all the way through. There's no point. And later on, you found out that the reason they went with Pau was because they oh so wanted him in 2007, which was widely reported back then. But, like, they always had a hard-on for Pau, and then they finally saw their chance, And you know what pattern reemerged again? Dwayne Wade in 2016, a guy they also had a hard on in 2010 and 2003 during the draft. Well, now we have a chance to get him. It doesn't matter that he's 34 or 35 years old.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
I mean, look, they've been eyeing this summer of 19 for free agency for years now. The thing they forgot is that other teams are also going to start eyeing this.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're competing with the Lakers, you know, the Clippers, who are off to a great start this year, the Nets, who are building something and actually have a great coach and a great front office. Players are, like, much like I said, teams are smarter, or fans are smarter than ever.
Right.
Players are smarter than ever. Oh, and yeah. They will understand, like, I would assume, or I would hope, when they're taking free agency decisions and they're, you know, they're deciding between a couple teams, they're saying, like, this team is built for success because they have a good coach and a good front office and they're aligned with the owner, and this team is going to be a tire fire forever because they're going to fire their coach every 3 years and their front office doesn't know what it's doing. It switches directions all the time and they haven't built anything meaningful. I would assume, especially, you know, word gets around between players. Like, I'm sure Jimmy Butler would happily tell any player considering the Bulls, nah, dog, go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So
that has happened, I can tell you.
Yeah, and so, yeah. Like, even if they are trying, they're angling to get this star free agent this summer, I've said it before, I'll say it again, there aren't that many star free agents this summer, and a lot of those guys are going to stay in place, or they're not, like, the Bulls aren't going to be on their radar.
Oh, you know what? This is an experiment time then. So imagine the Bulls going after, all right, let's say our boy, Chris Middleton, was a free agent.
Good luck.
I get it. But he'll be, you know, late 27 at that point. His birthday's in August. So he'll, just for reference sake, he'll be 28, mm-hmm. okay? Then in 4 years, after he re-signs with Milwaukee, like they don't get Middleton. He stays in Milwaukee. He signs a four-year deal. Then when he's 32, the Bulls will be like, oh, we liked you once. We liked you 4 years ago. Oh, and you're 32 right now, and you're coming off a year where you're averaging 14 points and your statistical profile has declined in recent years.
Right.
$25 million a year. Here you go. Go get him, big boy.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Like, they're not going to be in for Jimmy. They're not going to be in for Kyrie. He's presumably staying in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
KD's either staying in Golden State or going to New York, it seems like. Kawhi is either going to stay in Toronto or go to one of the LA teams. Kemba, why is Kemba Walker going to leave the Hornets and go to the Bulls if the Bulls can't offer
him? Oh, yeah, no.
You know, like, what's their pitch to a top free agent? Come play with these 19 and 20 and 21 and 22-year-olds who are a couple years away? Like, that's what pissed Jimmy Butler off about being in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Towns and Wiggins are still years away from being competitive. Like, not everyone is a Joel Embiid or a Ben Simmons who's like, you just come into the NBA and you're ready to compete right away. That's very rare. So they just don't have a competitive pitch. So they've been spending, you know, this has been their strategy for years. They've been building up to this moment, and now this moment is here, and they are screwed.
Of course. They were always screwed, though.
Yeah.
They were always screwed. I mean, look, there was some buzz because Vogue started that buzz that players would look at the Bulls because, you know, the window could stay open for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I, look, theoretically, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I even made a joke on this podcast about Kevin Durant because the Bulls needed a small forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is logic in going to that team from a talent perspective and from, like, the window is open perspective, but not from the perspective of, oh, I have to play ball with management.
Mm.
Like, players and agents, I think those guys, when they sit together in the summer and going over teams, I think they're looking at each other in the eyes and go, well, the Bulls could offer you this. You would get a lot of minutes. You would get the exact role you wanted, but you would have to deal with guard packs.
Right.
I think that's a major drawback.
Yeah.
That's where they are. I don't think they view themselves as an asset. I think it is the exact opposite. I think, you know, players who sign with the Bulls sign despite of guard packs.
Right. Yeah, they're a liability more than an asset, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Look, I mean, and I'll tell you something else. You actually touched on this some moments ago about, you know, how the team speaks down to you know, Bulls fans, mm-hmm. and how the NBA fan has grown smarter. And so a couple years back, I wrote an article saying that, you know, the media members of Chicago were usually stiffened in press conferences. They would mm-hmm. ask a very good question, and they would just get stiff completely on the answer. Like, it would just be a non-answer. Like, Gar would just snake his way through it.
Right.
And I tried to call him out in an article, which is long gone now because I wrote it for a site that no longer exists. And a writer reached out to me and told me, I can never say that, and I really appreciate you doing that. And I can't say that because they will pull my credentials.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, when you're more concerned with image than you are with winning, you're not ever going to win. Like, you know what changes your image? Sustained winning. You know who has one right. of the best images in the league? The San Antonio Spurs. You know why? Because right. they've run a classy professional organization for 20-plus years.
Where they do right by everyone.
Right. Like, you just have to treat people with respect. Isn't that the golden rule? Just treat people like you want to be treated? Yep. The Bulls have not followed that from the top down. And it's led to this corrosion. I mean, just look at how they treated Tibbs. You know, like, we have issues with Thibodeau, but...
You know what? I'm going to bring that up. I'm going to bring that press conference or the press release up. Hang on.
Yeah. Oh, the one about them firing.
Oh, yeah. Because you just brought that up. I need to find it. I need to. All right.
Yeah. That,
well, because that's the perfect example.
I know for Hoiberg, they said the team lacks, like, spirit and energy, which, again, mm-hmm. like, look at what. How many injuries? Like, Dunn's still out. They were missing marketed. Portis was out. Denzel Valentine's out. Like, they're playing with eight guys right now, and four of them are NBA players.
Mm. Here's Scar Foreman's quote in that press release.
Okay. This is the Thibodeau one.
The Thibodeau thing. Yeah. When Tom was hired in 2010, he was right for our team and system at that time. And over the last 5 years, we have had some success with Tom as our head coach. Some success with with Tom as our head coach.
Yeah.
There is no mentioning whatsoever about a playoff run, about him, you know, helping Derrick Rose become an MVP, about turning Joakim Noah into a Defensive Player of the Year award winner.
Right.
Like, there is no accolades were really brought up except for his record. That's it. It was the most unprofessional press release I have seen in professional sports. Let alone, I mean, not just basketball, professional sports. Just the way that it's whole, it was written, and it's just derogatory. Look, I'm not going to read the whole thing because I'm really going to be upset right now. Oh, screw it. Let's go for it. The Chicago Bulls chairman, Jerry Reinsdorf, said, "The Chicago Bulls have a history of achieving great success on and off the court. These accomplishments have been possible because of an organizational culture where input from all parts of the organization has been welcomed and valued. There has been a willingness to participate in a free flow of information, and there's been clear and consistent goals." Already there. That is basically saying, you know what, we're firing Tom because he didn't really communicate with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's already trying to point out, hey, you know, he didn't do that. Remember, we're successful because of the things that he didn't do.
Right.
Right. While the head of each department of the organization must be free to make final decision regarding his department, there must be free and open interdepartmental discussion and consideration of everyone's ideas and opinions. Again, much of the same. Mm-hmm. These internal discussions must not be considered an invasion of turf and must remain private. And you know what that alludes to? The Jeff Van Gundy episode on TV during a nationally televised game where Jeff Van Gundy went ape on the Bulls management.
Mm-hmm.
Because they assumed, you know, Tom shared some things, you know, some frustration with Jeff Van Gundy because they used to work together. Like, everything in this press release just is just sour grapes.
Yeah.
And vitriol against a coach who helped them significantly in terms of rebuilding their brand. It's embarrassing.
And then also, I mean, let's assume Jim Boylan is not the long-term answer. I mean, look, like, the Bulls have a lot of young talent, and they have a great fan base, a great market, so that should make the job very attractive. But, like, I would assume the way they've treated their past few coaches will also loom large in the mind of, you know, top-tier coach candidates. Like, are they going to be able to lure the next Steve Kerr? Are they just going to be stuck with retreads? Like, is Mark Jackson going to be the best they can do?
So you actually hit on something interesting, because I'll point something out to you. Vinny Del Negro was hired in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Had zero coaching experience. Tom Thibodeau was hired in 2010, having had no head coach experience.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Hoiberg was hired with no NBA head coaching experience. Jim Boylan, no NBA head coach experience.
Mm.
I think they are looking at, I think the word is out on the Bulls. Yeah. I don't think established coaches have an ounce of interest mm-hmm. in the Bulls. And I think they know that the only thing they can do is make themselves attractive to, you know, coaches who haven't had their big break yet.
Yeah.
And go, you know what? There are only 30 slots open and we can offer you one of them.
Mm-hmm.
While not saying, because we can't get anyone else.
Oh, man. Well, on the bright side, Bulls fans, Joakim Noah just signed with the Grizzlies, so you can enjoy at least...
Grit and grind!
You can enjoy the success of one of your former legends as your team spirals into nothingness. We've been just depressing Bulls fans for 40 minutes, and I don't
want to go for 45?
Well, I was about to say, just don't look at your schedule for the rest of December, because, like... I mean, I guess actually it's good, because at this point you just want a high pick. And
well, to what end, though? Let me make it even more depressing.
Yeah. Well, that I was
to what end?
I was going to ask if you have any, if there any reason for hope. Like, if you're a Bulls fan right now, at least Markkanen and Carter, like, that's something, right?
Yeah, look, they can turn into MVP candidates for all I know. Garpacks will find a way to mess it up.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I have zero faith in that management. Zero. They are going to find a way to either, you know, pick the wrong people to put next to those two. They're going to find a way to, you know, down the line, not wanting to pay both guys, because let's not forget, they're stingy as hell as well. It's just something is going to pop up. It always does. That's the thing. It is the constant instability and, you know, constant drama. Remember back in the day when there were even rumors about them bugging some of the assistant coach's office?
Yeah.
Like, there's constant drama around this team. Constant. Mm-hmm. And at no point does, like, a light bulb go off for everyone collectively and go, oh, you know what, who's always involved? Garpacks.
Right.
And with job security, you know what, doesn't matter. Like, Lauri Markkanen can lead the league in scoring. Wendell Carter could be the next defensive player of the year. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They can get Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett. They can win the number one draft pick and get a stud. Doesn't matter. It'll be fun for a few years, then they'll find a way to blow it up again.
Oh, man. Well, you're convincing me. Bulls fans may be... I think you're like 1 year away from getting my Kings fan amnesty.
No, Brian, be kind. It's almost the holidays. Be kind and give it to them now.
Well, we'll see. Maybe it'll be my Christmas present to Bulls fans this year.
That would be great. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, Bulls fans, I mean... Hopefully you can at least enjoy dreaming of Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett or someone. I don't know, but
or you can go watch the Nuggets. They're fun.
Yeah, just if you want. Hey, yeah, go. You're welcome to bandwagon.
Milwaukee's a 2-hour drive away, right? Or an hour and a half, something right. like that.
Yeah, and Jabari Parker no longer plays for them, making them that much more enjoyable.
That is, and you know, the best player in the league for the next 10 years maybe is playing right down the road.
Right, there is that.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Victor Oladipo is in Indiana.
That's, well, he's been hurt for a while, but yeah.
Shh. Trying to make a sale here, Brent.
You have other options. You don't need to watch this team. Honestly, like, that's probably what it's going to take, right? Like, if you don't support the team financially, that's when they will make real changes. So if you really are serious, you know, if you're a Bulls fan out there and you're pissed about, you know, as you said, Mort, like, I don't think many Bulls fans thought Fred Hoiberg was, like, the answer. They don't think he's Greg Popovich 2.0. But if you're pissed about just the direction of this team, and you think it starts with Garpacz, as many Bulls fans rightfully seem to do, stop supporting the team. Don't buy tickets. Don't watch their games. Don't buy jerseys or anything for Christmas. Like, don't give them money, and then they'll realize they need to make a change. But if you keep supporting
Bruce
them...
Oh, Bruce is going to be so disappointed.
Well, if you have kids, you can make an exception. But
all right, because he desperately wants a marketing jersey.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well,
that's,
but your point is well taken.
Right, like, that's what will change their minds. That's what happened with the Sixers. Like, after a while, they, you know, there were no fans going to those games for 3 years, and finally they caved. That's what it takes.
Well, I actually, so here's the thing with the Sixers, right? I think the Sixers did something that is very respectable, and I didn't realize it at first, and I'll admit that all mm-hmm. the way through. They came out and said, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
We are going to be bad. And at the time, I just didn't comprehend what they were trying to do. So I was actually very anti-Sixers during that point because, that's not very sports-like, whatever.
Right.
But you know what? Looking at the alternatives of just the political BS, writers getting beat down, fans being spoken down to like their children,
mm-hmm.
I would desperately prefer Sam Hinkie standing in front of me going, you know what? I'm just going to level with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what Sixers fans liked about him. Was like, that was the complaint about the Sixers. What Bulls fans are feeling right now about Garpacz is what Sixers fans felt in 2011 and 2012. It was like, this team has not had a direction since Allen Iverson left. Just pick a damn lane and stick to it. Then they were like, okay, we're just going to lose for 3 years.
Yeah.
Buckle up. Enjoy the G League parade. And we did.
Hey, man. Worked out.
I know.
Right now, you're starting Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Jimmy Butler. Worked out.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that's the answer for everyone. I mean, we'll see, especially now that they've revised the lottery odds, we'll see how that affects tanking moving forward. It's going to be really interesting over the next couple of years. But I think you do need to pick a lane regardless. If you are rebuilding, commit to rebuilding. Trade away your veterans. Get more picks. Get young players. Don't half-ass it with this Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, Jabari Parker stuff. Like, you have to consider team fit. This is just not a progressive 21st century front office. They haven't been running themselves like it. Maybe they can evolve. Maybe they'll finally realize the error in their ways. Maybe they'll, like, because I've seen, you know, a lot of times it seems like when the Bulls make a bad move, or like when they fire a coach or something, their PR spin works. And it's like, yeah, Tom Thibodeau was the problem. Yeah, Fred Hoiberg's the problem.
Yeah.
This time it seems like Zach Lowe called out Garpacz. Ken Berger's whole column was like, Garpacz, this is it. It's their fault. They're terrible.
Yep.
So like, now maybe they will finally start feeling the heat. And now maybe Reinsdorf finally is like, oh, wait, I can't just pay attention to baseball.
Well, no. And here's why. Jerry Krause was on his... like, he was just... he was on a GM decline, if you can call it that. And he was just or he wasn't waiting, but like, Krause actually had to just retire because of health issues. And just like say, you know what, I can't do it anymore. Reinsdorf is going to see this thing out. I mean, John Paxson is going to be a Chicago Bull executive until the day that he doesn't want to anymore. There's no doubt in my mind. We can look, I agree with you that should be the way that it is handled, but there is no doubt in my mind that whatever happens, regardless of how many billboards, media pressure, whatever, Reinsdorf is going to look at that project mark and going, are we still making about $50 million a year? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. John, you're doing fine.
Oh, boy. Well,
On that note.
Yeah, I genuinely don't know what to say, except I'm sorry, Bulls fans. I hope it gets better for you. You guys are great. Like, you guys deserve better than this. And I just think all you need to do is continue to point the finger where it deserves to be pointed and hope that change comes eventually. Or just hire a Colangelo.
Here's what I'm looking forward to, though. And I haven't seen a link out, so I don't know if he's written anything yet.
Uh-huh.
But if he hasn't, look, I am just waiting for Ricky O'Donnell to write a piece on SB Nation about guard packs.
Yeah.
Because Ricky is one of the best at bringing the fire. And I usually feel so much better inside whenever I read one of his takedown pieces.
Yeah.
They're wonderful. They're a true treat. Yeah. So everyone should go read Ricky.
I think I know he and Jason Pat recorded a podcast yesterday because I saw some quotes coming out from that. That was just pure fire. I don't know if he's written the piece yet, but yeah. I mean, there are some. I know those guys, and as you said, Mark Karanzulis also had some fire yesterday. There are some very angry Bulls fans with good takes coming out. So don't worry. Rest assured, if you want them, you can find them. But yeah, I mean. I'm sorry, Bulls fans. I've been here. It sucks. It hopefully will get better. But, ugh. Any final thoughts, Mort?
Not really, Brian. I'm just letting you know that I may or may not replace you with Mark Deeks in that hosting chair.
Sure.
So, you know, of course I'm going to go on a worldwide search beforehand. I'm not really sure if it's going to be Mark Deeks in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Deeks. So, you know, it's just such a, just trying to illustrate a point here, right?
Yeah. Success. Successful.
Successful. Yeah. All right. No, I don't have anything. You know, I will say this, though. I actually will end on a positive note because.
Okay. Good. Please do.
Yes. And that is, I appreciate how many Bulls fans in recent years have turned the page. You know, I said earlier that there are a lot of Bulls fans who are still, you know, see red crowd and all that thing, right?
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who've interacted with me over the past 10 years or so who were just extreme Garpax fans who slowly but surely have realized, oh, you know what? I actually feel spoken down to, and I really feel that the way that they're speaking to me is really childish and the way that they're actually doing their business is really not attractive to me or to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say to those guys, good on you for looking at it in a more realistic point of view.
Yeah.
Instead of just buying all that BS, because that's what they're feeding you. It's BS all the way through.
That is true. Well, on that note, Godspeed, Bulls fans. You can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. Take care, man.